mean question. The very first question is a mean one. Are you ready? I mean, this should be nice stuff since you're on vacation, but here it is. Jim and Jupiter's a Florida State fan, so you know the angle. He said if Florida wins five games but loses the Georgia, Tennessee, and Florida State game, does Billy Napier coach in 24?
Bill, he's coaching in 24. Florida goes 1-11. That's just I think that's just where it is right now. Early in the process, money. I think money will play a part in it too. I think the buyout would be like $31.8 million or something like that. They're going to give him at least 3 years. With some of the recruiting, how it has went. You know, DJ Lagway coming in. For that 24 season, even as a true freshman, but you had to hang on to that. Yeah, Bill, he'll hang around for at least 3 years, probably 4 years, given the contract, and maybe his process is going to call for patience, whether we like it or not, Bill. Part of that's his own doing. Part of that's some unfortunate happenings, and some of it's just the way that he wants to build the program. I'm not saying he's done everything perfect by any means, but I think his way of building it was going to be a slow process anyway. He didn't do the roster flip like LSU and USC did last year. And we'll determine. I'm not saying that's the right move, but the way he is doing it, we're just going to have to, probably bide our time just to see if it's the right move or not. But, Bill, I think the scary thing, kind of going with that scenario and maybe looking at it further, a lot of the times you can tell by year two how it's going to go for a coach. So we definitely got to see some big signs of improvement in Billy Napier's second year.
They're ranked in the class of 24, number 13. That's solid.
Yeah. However, Own 3 does their rankings different in 24/7, Bill. I mean, they're top five.
That's right.
In that recruiting service. So, it's a really good start to the class. And I know a lot of some Gator fans are disappointed. No commitments coming out of this big official visit weekend this past weekend where you had Jeremiah Smith on campus to go along with DJ Lagway. And I think Florida really made some inroads there, Bill, with Jeremiah Smith, if he's ever going to decommit and or flip from Ohio State. I think Florida's putting themselves in position to be that rebound school there for Jeremiah Smith. Jordan Ross is another five-star edge player from the state of Alabama, where Florida, I was talking about this on the podcast yesterday. They've had about one player in a string of years. If you go back to maybe like a Kadarius Toney, a LaMichael Perine, Shamar James, Kelby Collins, where you can point to a big time player from the state of Alabama, or maybe not even a big time player, but one that ends up being a big time player for Florida for a little bit now and been impactful for this team. Jordan Ross. You didn't hear his name a whole lot till about a week and a half ago. And Florida's, I think, really firmly in that for a five-star edge player from the state of Alabama, Bill. But, yeah, I mean, a great start to the class of 24. And, coming into these official visits last weekend and the next couple of weeks, you're really going to, I think, it'll show us where Billy Napier's recruiting chops are heading into the season. You're probably looking at, Bill, if you're going to add to this class of 24, maybe before the season starts, adding, six, they are sitting at eight right now, probably adding, up to seven, maybe get to around that 15 number heading into the season. And then we'll have to see, Bill, how much the season results play into maybe finishing this class and or how much Billy Napier can just kind of sell the vision. But, Bill, it gets harder to sell the vision after year one. I mean, that you can sell the vision a little bit without on-field results mattering a whole lot. But each year you get away from year one, results on the field are going to start mattering more and more.
Over to baseball, I've got some questions here. Just Florida playing well in their regional and going to be hosting a Super. We don't have to wait till 9 o'clock this morning Central to find out whether they're hosting or not. And they get South Carolina, a team that they struggled against. I don't think that matters at all today, but all good so far.
Bill, well, Saturday night, a lot of Gator Nation told me the season was over. They lost to Texas Tech and of course it's going to be difficult to win three games in a row, but Florida had to go win two on Sunday and then win the deciding game yesterday versus Texas Tech, and didn't play well versus Texas Tech in that first loss. The pitching was there all weekend, Bill. It took a while to get the bats going. Once they got the bats going, then it was just kind of on there for Florida. Of course, you just mentioned playing South Carolina. Carolina there. South Carolina's finally getting healthy at the right time. Ever since they swept Florida, Bill, they kind of just fell apart, a part of that due to injuries a bit. So it was certainly an interesting matchup, SEC teams and Florida getting swept when they went to South Carolina. South Carolina now comes to Gainesville, of course. But Bill, one of the biggest storylines coming out of it, you know, BT Rypel yesterday was 0 for 15 with 8 strikeouts in the regional until he hit 2-2-1 homers yesterday to help Florida in a deciding game. But it was really the pitching, Bill. I mean, they really, really, really showed up. 1.63 ERA, being able to count on a true freshman, Cade Fisher, in the second game versus Texas Tech on Sunday night. But then you had Wyatt Langford, Jack Caglione, BT Rypel with the bats, all kind of make their appearance throughout the regional as well. So it finally came together on that Sunday and Monday, and you hope that's what they, you know, can carry. But as you said, Bill, South Carolina didn't have much of an issue in their regional, scoring a ton of runs. They're healthy now, so I think it'll be a pretty good intense matchup with these SEC teams here in Gainesville.
Is there anything in sports more mentally difficult than baseball when your bat's gone bad?
That's a tough one, Bill, because also at the same time, you know, when that happens, you know, you can be hitting the ball. You can be making good contact. And that's what Florida was doing.
Right.
But the ballpark played kind of big. The wind was kind of holding some balls up. I mean, Florida probably should have had at least on Saturday, probably 3 more home runs, but just got hung up. Any other day, they probably would have been home runs, and they were making good contact. They just, you know, were just not getting the results out of it. And even that plays a part into it when you know you're doing well but still can't break out of it. So, you know, it just was only really a matter of time for Florida. But you're right, Bill. I mean, yeah, at least with, you know, having to play so many games in a short amount of time, you were able to work on it and you were able to work your way out of it. But you're right, Bill. Like, if this just would have been regular series and you're just playing one game a day, you know, there's no telling how long Florida could have been in that little funk. So you're right, you know, because it is sometimes it's just so mental that it's hard to break out of it. But I do think playing a doubleheader on Sunday, turning right around again on Monday, I think that kind of helped Florida kind of maybe figure out those hitting issues just a little bit.
We were talking about Georgia hired the pitching coach at LSU. Now, he'll stay with LSU until their season is done. But a question on the text line from Craig in North Augusta, South Carolina. He said, what do college baseball coaches make? Well, this is probably not a good indicator. But, Dave, I pulled up a list here just now. And it's mainly SEC coaches, so it's kind of a one-league thing. Tim Corbin is number one at $1.7 million. I think I saw where he makes more than that. That's a private school, too, so I don't know how they got that info. Number two, that says Mott Bianco at Ole Miss, 1.625. Of course, he's got a recent natty. Tony Vitello, 3 at $1.5 million. Jim Schlossnagel at A&M at $1.4 million. Dave Van Horn at Arkansas, 1.3. Chris Lemonis at Mississippi State, 1.25. Jay Johnson at 1.2. Now, it says here Sully is number 8 at 1.2. I don't know if I believe Sully, I don't think Sully would put up with that.
Yeah, Bill, what was it? 2 seasons ago where we were hearing about the whole the whole hot and heavy LSU talk.
Right.
You know, if he would go to LSU and they were making a coaching change. I know he likes what he's set up at Gainesville. Maybe state income tax comes into that just a bit, Bill, too.
That's true.
I don't know, but you're right about, you know, just because of his resume, he, just take out any other factor, you would expect him to be near the top based on what he's done at Florida and what he continues to do at Florida. If whatever the results could be this year, maybe something gets reworked as far as that, Bill, but I haven't looked at that as far as, you know, where he's at and compared to other SEC programs, especially just the success Florida has had. But I mean, just kind of coming out of this regional, it was, you know, it kind of got on blast this week. You know, this is Florida advanced to the Super Regional for the first time since 2018. And it was their first NCAA regional out of the losers bracket in 7 attempts in Kevin O'Sullivan's era. So ever since they won the title, Unfortunately, the 2020 season had to be cut short when Florida was looking like the best team in the country. But since winning the title, Bill, you know, they have struggled a bit, but still, you know, consistently one of the best teams in the country. So you hope for a long run this year. But if you were to ask me, Bill, I would have told you he's probably top five in the SEC as far as salary goes. Yeah, that's certainly not the case, it looks like. So I do wonder if that gets restructured a bit coming up.
Now, Georgia's hired Wes Johnson, the pitching coach for Jay Johnson, but I looked it up. It says here Scott Strickland was making $650. Now, this is the University of Georgia, one of the most powerful schools in America, the top football program in America easily at the moment, with tons of money. Strickland's making $650, which would put him 10th in the SEC. That gives you an idea of their commitment, if that's what he's
doing. And also, Bill, you know, look, I grew up in the state of Georgia, too, and it does kind of boggle your mind a bit. There's a lot of high school baseball talent in that state.
Crazy.
Right. And also, you know, but also look at the state of Atlanta and or the city of Atlanta and basketball and Georgia not being able to get it done on the hardwood as well. You know, Georgia is a state of plenty of athletes. We know about, you know, the state of Georgia and football players, but it's that way about baseball players and, you know, in some ways about basketball players too, because of the city of Atlanta. So it does make you wonder if it's just a matter of time before Georgia puts it all together off, you know, besides football, just because of the recruiting base that they can have in these other sports. You know, and getting the pitching coach from LSU may be the way to go. You know, that's, you know, Florida did the same way with O'Sullivan, getting pitching coach from Clemson at the time. So maybe it's, you know, Georgia's way of unlocking something. But you certainly can't argue with, you know, going and getting a pitching coach from LSU with a background and maybe trying to get that way to figure it out there. I saw the video, Bill. I think it was L-Dog who posted it there on Twitter this morning, how emotional LSU was. And their players for what, 11 months on the job, it looked like. So certainly found a way to connect to the players there. And, you know, maybe for Florida's sake, they don't need another SEC team to get good in baseball. So we'll see where it goes.
So South Carolina's got to go down there. Now, when they played in the regular season, South Carolina swept them, right? But again, that I don't think that has anything to do with Friday, Saturday, et cetera.
Yeah, right, Bill. I don't think so either. Teams are much different, but as I said, since that South Carolina was really banged up, so you know we'll see what that means. And they were able to flip a switch. We're putting those pieces back into the lineup there in Columbia for that regional. But you know, if Florida's on their game, Bill, they should be in Omaha the week after.
Dave, I guess last time we talked, they had not finalized the 2024 football schedule. We know it's 8 games. It's a 1-7 format. It's a one-year deal, basically, which I still think they're going to 9 the next year. They've got to pound out disagreements when it comes to your three permanent opponents. But your thoughts there? We got about a minute and a half.
Okay, at least it's only for 1 year, Bill. I mean, I'll give them some leeway there. I understand there is a lot to figure out. I think they still can do it. They said they're going to keep the secondary rivalries as well. So, you know, for Florida, that probably means I would assume Tennessee. I think that gives Florida, Georgia, and Tennessee for 24. And I think if you look at it from Tennessee's perspective, it'll probably be Alabama and Florida. I think that's pretty easy to figure out if you're going to keep a main rival and a secondary rival. I think for Florida and Tennessee, I think it sets up pretty clear for those programs. So I think that's how it would work out for those schools. And, you know, for Florida, Bill, you know, they already for 2024, they already had UCF on the schedule, Miami on the schedule, of course, Florida State as well. So maybe not going to 9 conference games, a little bit of a breather for Florida in 2024 in Billy Napier's third year. So, but yeah, hopefully, I think it's June 14th, Bill, next Wednesday. I think they're going to announce who you play, not when you play, but who you play. So we'll get our answer pretty soon. But I'm okay if it's only 1 year and they keep a lot of these important games that we look forward to every year.
Dave, tell everybody how they can get your content.
Yeah, Bill, everybody can get Gators Breakdown, YouTube version, video version there, big recap of the big recruiting weekend this past weekend. Looking forward to this weekend as well for the Gators and all those visits coming up. And you find it on your favorite podcast platform as well.
All right, man. Have a good vacation.
Thanks, Bill.
Gator Dave, each and every Tuesday. Griff, about 45 minutes out, Audi Nashville Hotel.